As you know, I'm not usually with you on Sunday night, but I'm usually here on Wednesday night. Circumstances in our home make it necessary for this to be my second congregation, I guess you might say. There is no other congregation that I'd rather be with if I can't be with my brethren in Sycamore. And so I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to speak tonight. The lesson that I'm going to present tonight is one that I developed a few weeks ago for preaching in Sycamore. I was preparing, just a minute, I get this right. They told me which button. There it is. I was preparing to teach the book of Colossians in Sycamore, and as I was preparing to do that, reading in the first chapter of the book of Colossians, I ran across, of course, very early on the fact that the Apostle Paul told that he prayed for these brethren, and it seems from the way he was writing this epistle that Paul had not even known these brethren. I know he knew some of them because Philemon happened to be from Colossae, and he wrote the book of Philemon. He was very familiar with him. But as far as most of the brethren in Colossae, it appears that the Apostle Paul did not know them or had not seen them face to face. And so basically he was praying, he's telling them that he was praying for a congregation of people that he hadn't even met. And I know we do that from time to time, but it seems to me like the Apostle Paul was doing this on a regular basis. And it kind of intimidated me a little bit in the fact that I looked at my prayers and the prayers that I issue on a daily basis, and I fall far short of the Apostle Paul in that. And it was especially true once I realized this. I remembered, of course, that Paul frequently in his epistles talked about praying for his brethren in other places. And so I decided to try to find all the passages of Scripture in his epistles that refer to him praying for his brethren, and to make a lesson out of that. And so this is the result of that. Before I get into that, though, I want to talk a little bit about Paul's letters in general. I guess before I get into that, I want to mention that I have a habit. It's a good habit, but I have a habit of praying every night before I go to sleep. I used to not do that because I'd fall asleep while I was praying, and I felt bad about that, but I guess it's, if you're going to fall asleep to anything, that's a good thing to fall asleep to. But I'm able to pray now without falling asleep, and so I've for some time made a habit of praying before I go to sleep, and each night. And I pray for brethren. I have a long list of brethren, and as you get older, as I have done, you have more and more friends and acquaintances that come to your mind when it comes to needing our prayers, mostly for physical reasons. And I have a fairly long list. It's changed over the years because some have passed on from this life, and some have gotten well enough that I've quit praying for them and found somebody else to add to the list. There's only a certain amount of memory that I have left in my mind, so I can't pray for everyone. But I will say this, for a long time I've prayed every night for Keith Barkley. And recently I've added to the list Mike Miller. And I have a list of others also. But I want you to know that it does me good to remember these people who need our prayers. Now, about Paul's epistles, Paul's letters, there are 13 in total of Paul's epistles. There were 8 letters to 6 churches, and I have them listed on the board: Romans, Corinth, Ephesus, Philippians, Philippi, Colossae, and Thessalonica are the cities in which these 6 churches were. I probably ought to change that because Romans, I began to notice this last week that Romans probably was written not just to the single church, but there were several churches that met in their homes in the city of Rome, and so I probably ought to put it in the next category, where we have one letter to several churches, that being the letter to the Galatians. And there's no mention of prayers in that epistle. It kind of shocked me that there wasn't mention at all of prayers in that. And then there are 4 letters to 3 individuals, to Timothy, Titus, and to Philemon. But I want you to notice that Paul notes his frequent prayers. And he, in 5 of his letters, he thanks God for his recipients, for the recipients of his prayers, and tells them that he makes mention of them in his prayers. All right? I've color-coded some of these throughout this. We're going to have most of the scriptures on the projection tonight. And I've color-coded the phrases in his prayers that giving thanks to God for his brethren. And I've color-coded those in yellow. And it appears purple on this in my computer. It looks like pink, but there it looks like purple. But where Paul mentions them in his prayers. He just says, I mention you in my prayers, or something like that. And then in green, we're going to look at the actual prayer that he makes for his brethren. In other words, he tells them what he's praying for these brethren. And so that's the way we're going to do it in this lesson tonight. So we're going to go in the order that they are in our Bibles, not necessarily in the order that they were written, but in the order that they are in our Bibles. And, of course, the first one is found in Romans, the first chapter, verses 8 and 9, where he says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. Notice that that this is a giving of thanks to God through Jesus Christ for his brethren in Rome. Now, again, these are people, for the most part, that the Apostle Paul hasn't seen. He wants to go see them. He wants to, he eagerly desires to go and to impart to them some spiritual gift. But he's already thanking God for these brethren. What does he pray for them about? He thanks them for their faith. The fact that their faith is spoken throughout the whole world. Wouldn't that be wonderful if you were to hear that your faith, the faith of the brethren here in Normal, was spoken about throughout the whole world? That is a great compliment. And then he goes on to say, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. So the brethren in Rome were some who the Apostle Paul always mentioned in his prayers. When he was writing to the church in Corinth, he says, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given you by Christ Jesus. He was thankful for these brethren. Now, if you read the letters to the Corinthians, both 1st and 2nd Corinthians, you know that Corinth was a church that had a lot of problems. They had a lot that the Apostle Paul had to deal with, a lot of division, and he worked on that in 1st Corinthians and continued it on in 2 Corinthians. But he still, even though they had a lot of trouble, a lot of problems, he thanked God always concerning those brethren in Corinth. These are people who had previously lived immoral lives. In 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, you'll remember that he listed a number of sins that we blush at. And he says, and such were some of you, but you have been washed. And so that's what he thanked God for, was the fact that they had been wicked people, but they had been washed. And so he thanks them for the grace of God that was given to them through Jesus Christ. In his second epistle to Corinth, he says, I pray God that you do no evil. Now, you know, it only stands to reason that the apostle would want every Christian to do no evil. But he thought it was necessary to remind these people who had practiced evil, had habitually practiced evil in their past, that they that he is praying for them that they do no evil. Not that we should appear approved, he says, but that you do what is honorable. Now there he has that you do no evil, and on top of that you do what is honorable. That is something that we ought to all aspire to. Though we may seem disqualified, he says, for we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak and you are strong. And this also, we pray that you may be made complete. He recognized that Corinth, the brethren in Corinth, had a long way to go. That probably can be said about all of us, that we have a long way to go, that we aren't complete. But he was praying that we would be made, they would be made complete. Then when we get to the Ephesian letter, in Ephesians 1, verses 15 to 19, he says, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you. There he goes again. He's giving thanks for these brethren. And he goes on to say, making mention of you in my prayers. He's not just praying for brethren throughout the world. That's what I have a tendency to do, just praying for brethren all over the world. But he's praying specifically for the brethren in Ephesus, making mention of them in his prayers. And then he tells them what he's praying for. He says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. He's praying that they may have wisdom and revelation. They didn't have a Bible. They couldn't go down to a bookstore and buy a Bible. The Bible wasn't complete at this time. That's why it was necessary for the Lord to provide special spiritual gifts for some of these brethren so that they could have that wisdom and revelation and knowledge about Jesus Christ. Now, they did have the Old Testament scriptures, and I think that it was incumbent upon them to see Jesus in the Old Testament. They could go to the Old Testament and see that the Old Testament was all about bringing Jesus into this world and bringing salvation to the whole world. But this spirit of wisdom and revelation was, in that time, was a two-part thing. First of all, they needed to be familiar with the scriptures that they had available to them. And then they, where they lacked anything, they had those with spiritual gifts that could give them that wisdom and revelation. He went on to say that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. He wanted them to be enlightened, that they not only knew the scriptures, but that they understood the scriptures, that you may know what is the hope of your calling. He speaks here of a calling. Christians are called, called to service, called to worship. And he prayed that they would know the hope of that calling. And what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? We have an inheritance. Christians have an inheritance awaiting for them. And we need to recognize that that inheritance, and what a glorious thing it is to have a God that's going to give us an eternal inheritance. And he goes on to say, and what are the exceeding riches of his greatness, of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. In Philippians, the first chapter, verse 6, it says, I thank my God on every remembrance of you. And then he says, always, in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Then in verses 9 through 11, he says, and this, I pray that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. He's praying that their love would abound, but abound in knowledge and all discernment. Furthermore, he said that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ, that you be filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. And then we get to the epistle that started all this in my preparation for this, in Colossians. In Colossians 1, verses 3 through 11, but he starts by saying, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, thanking God for these Colossian brethren that he, for the most part, did not know. And again, stating clearly that he's praying always for them. He says, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Sound familiar? It's very familiar, because it's a lot of like what he said to some of the other churches that he wrote. He places a lot of emphasis upon the knowledge of God's will and the wisdom and spiritual understanding. He prays also that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him. And he prays that they are fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, and for all patience and long suffering with joy. to the church in Thessalonica in the first chapter, verses 2-4. He says, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God." He thanked God always for their without ceasing they were working their faith, that they were laboring in love, and they were patient in hope. In the third chapter, in verse 10, he referred to praying for them night and day, praying exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect what is lacking in your faith. There again, he saw something that was lacking in their faith, and he wanted to be able to go and personally help them to perfect what was lacking in their faith. Then in the second epistle to the Thessalonians, he, in verses 11 and 12, he says, "Therefore we also pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling." I got the wrong thing there, don't I? There it is. He says, "We pray for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power." He goes on to say that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, in later in the second chapter, in verse 13, he says, "But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth." Oh, boy. See if you can find that. Okay. All right, there's one passage that I wanted to look at that is not on our on the projection, that's in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, and verses 15 and 16. There he says, "Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or by our epistle." And then he has sort of a prayer right in this epistle. He says, "Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." And so here was one where he didn't mention prayer, but he actually had a prayer right in his letter there. All right, now as we get into the epistles to individuals, the first one would be First Timothy, and of course, First Timothy, he doesn't make mention of prayers in that. But in his second epistle to Timothy, he begins by saying, "I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice and I am persuaded is in you also. So it's a great compliment to the fellow worker Timothy. As his mentor, I guess you might say, the Apostle Paul thanks God for him and for the work that he did. And he remembered him night and day in his prayers. And he expressed his desire to see him. And he expressed how that he knew how that Timothy came to have the faith that he had. That it was first in his grandmother and later in his mother who raised him. Timothy was a man whose father, it appeared, was not a Christian. But he had a godly grandmother and a godly mother that brought him up in the right way. And God and Paul thanked God for Timothy in this. We noted that Titus, there is no mention of prayers in the short epistle to Titus. I don't know he didn't mention anything about that. But in Philemon, in writing to Philemon, he says, I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers. Why? He's hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. And he prays that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Of course, if you understand the epistle that is to Philemon, this is a rather unusual letter that Paul writes to Philemon. You'll remember that he had a special request that he wanted to make of Philemon, but he begins by telling Philemon of how much he appreciates him and thanks God for him, and that he is always in his prayers. And I'm sure that this gave Paul, the Apostle Paul, great confidence that he would grant the request that he was going to make of Philemon. You remember how that Philemon had a slave that had run away, Onesimus, and evidently Onesimus came in contact with the Apostle Paul and with the gospel of Jesus Christ and became converted, and now he was his brother. And so Paul appeals to Philemon on the basis of either taking Philemon back as a slave or letting him serve the Apostle Paul on Philemon's behalf. We don't know what Philemon's response was to this, but we can probably assume that he granted that request. One of the things I want us to note about all the things that we saw in green, those are the things that the apostle prayed for on behalf of these brethren. What's missing? Well, nothing is said about praying for their prosperity. Nothing is even said about praying for their health. Now, there wouldn't have been anything wrong for the Apostle Paul to pray for their health if there was a health issue in any of these people. But this isn't what he had on his mind. What he had in his mind was spiritual things. He prayed for these brethren that they would become the spiritual giants that he wanted them to be. And so I ask the question, if the Apostle Paul were to pray for us, or say, pray for the church here in Normal, what would he ask God for on behalf of this congregation? I think we could assume that he would ask that God would give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation. That's what he prayed for several of these people. Now, unlike the brethren of that day that had spiritual gifts, special spiritual gifts, we don't have that. But we have something more. We have the complete Word of God. We have not only Paul's epistles, but the epistles of Peter and John. We have the gospel accounts that were probably not available to the brethren of that time. And so if Paul were to pray, or if we were to pray, that God would give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation, that would mean that we would have to do something ourselves. God isn't going to zap us with wisdom and revelation. We have everything we need to have the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the revelation of Jesus Christ in the Scriptures. And so it would be incumbent on our part, if we were going to try to answer that prayer, that we do our part. God would do His part. We're told that if we lack wisdom, James said, ask of God, who gives to all men liberally. I believe he was telling us that if we truly pray for wisdom and revelation, God will give it to us. But again, it will take some effort on our part too. I'm reminded of the old story. It's a story that I've heard all my life, about two little girls that were late going to school. And they knew that they were going to get into trouble if they got to school late. And so one of the little girl, they were running, and one of the little girls says, maybe we ought to pray. And the other little girl said, yes, let's pray, but let's keep running. Now, that illustrates the point that we have to do what we can do, and God will do the rest. God's got the big part. We've got the little part. And so if we want the spirit of wisdom and revelation, we've got to open the book. We've got to study. I believe that the Apostle Paul would also pray that our eyes would be enlightened. It's not enough to know the Scriptures. There's a lot of people out there that know the Scriptures. Sometimes they know them better than we know the Scriptures. That shouldn't be that way, but sometimes that's the case. But they don't have their eyes opened. They have not been enlightened. And again, God will help to enlighten our eyes if we will open our eyes to the Scriptures and be open to the truth. I believe the Apostle Paul would pray that we would be filled with the knowledge of His will in wisdom and spiritual understanding, always increasing in the knowledge of God. So up to this point, you'll notice that I've just put in things that were in these epistles, just combining them all together, that Paul's prayer for you and for me would be that we would be enlightened by the Word of God. But he prayed for something more. He prayed that we would come to know some things. He prayed that we would come to know the hope of His calling. There is a hope that we have that is described as an anchor to the soul. And we need to come to a knowledge of that hope. He would pray that we would come to know the riches of the glory of His inheritance. Do we realize the inheritance that lies before us? Eternal life. Being with God, as opposed to being separated from God for eternity. We know the exceeding greatness of His power toward us. Got a little ahead on my projector there, but he would also pray that we would walk worthy of the Lord, pleasing Him. That we would walk worthy of the Lord. Isn't that our prayer? That we would do no evil, but rather that we would do what is honorable. That we would be sincere, without offense. that we would approve things excellent. That's one of the things we need to do. We need to approve excellent things. That we would be filled with righteousness, and faithful in every good work. Be strengthened with all might. Be perfected in what is lacking and made complete. And finally, that God would count us worthy of his calling. Right there is a compilation of all the things that the Apostle Paul prayed for in his epistles. May God help us to fulfill those prayers, and let us pray for one another as we go about our daily walks. I thank you.